This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to Hold the Puck!
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, Caps fans. What's going on? Welcome to What the Puck. It's a Washington Capitals podcast. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, and Overcast. Joining me, as always, he's still eating those Thanksgiving leftovers. Coach Dan, what's going on, man?
Well, I have a cold, but other than that, not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How'd you get this cold? Is this from Thanksgiving? Too much close time with your family? What's going on?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Just got a cold, man. I work with kids, so I probably got it from them.
Little germ machines.
Dude, they really are.
I know, right? I know. How was your Thanksgiving, buddy?
It was good. I had some turkey.
Yeah.
I was with the girlfriend's family. It was nice. It was relaxing.
Nice.
Sometimes. We got a Christmas tree the next day, got it all decorated. So that's good. We got a lot of Caps ornaments.
That's cool. That's cool.
We have a lot. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was great, man.
Out in Ocean City?
I was down in Ocean City, Maryland. It's a family tradition. We go to the beach all the time for Thanksgiving.
It was nice and cold. Good idea.
Let me tell you, it was so warm. There were people on the beach sitting out in lawn chairs or beach chairs or whatever. There was people surfing in the waves. I bought a pair of flip-flops. I was walking the boardwalk in a t-shirt and flip-flops, and I had pants on, don't worry, but I didn't have shorts, didn't pack those. But it was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday in the 70s, humid, everything like that, awesome. Sunday, Monday, and then Tuesday when I came home, freezing, and it was cold. But anyway, the weekend was beautiful. Thanksgiving was good. Got up early, watched the parade, watched some football, ate some turkey, went out at 10 o'clock for Black Friday. Plenty of crazies out there on Black Friday. Definitely don't think I'll be going out at 10 o'clock again, because it seems as if everyone gets done eating and then goes directly to the outlet mall and starts going shopping.
I can't do it.
I should have gone at like 2 a.m. That's when because it got really it was not crowded at 2 a.m. I should have went then. But anyway, you're talking about Caps ornaments. No one else has this. I guaranteed no one else has this. If you go up to a Hershey Bears game before Christmas, they have their booster club or whatever make hockey puck ornaments out of wood. They just like spray paint them black and then put a Hershey Bears player on the hockey puck. I have a Michael Latta Hershey Bears hockey puck ornament, handmade by the Booster Club. Bet you don't have that.
No, I do not.
Yeah. So one of a kind there. But hey, let's talk about these Caps, man. 4 wins since we talked last, you know?
Yeah.
We were talking, I think, just a week or two ago about how it always seems like the Capitals have 2 wins and then a loss. This time, they went on a run. Is it 5 games in a row that they've won, I believe?
5 in a row. They beat Colorado before we last talked.
Yep.
And then 1-0 over Edmonton, the game I was at and I was on TV. The game, 5-3 win over Winnipeg, 4-2 over Tampa, and 4-2 over Toronto.
I thought the teams have looked good. The Caps teams have looked good in every single game since we talked last. I've been very
Edmonton
impressed. What was that?
Edmonton, not so much. The game that I was at, that was kind of garbage. They did not play well. They had no real right to win that game. Edmonton was definitely the better team on that night and just couldn't get the puck past Holtby. If it wasn't for Holtby, the Caps lose that game, no question about it.
Well, good thing we have Holtby. Good thing Holtby's there, keeping this team alive.
Yes.
There's a lot of times, especially last season, where Holtby kept the Capitals alive, maybe when they shouldn't have been alive on the ice that night. But if you saw any of the Toronto game, I saw a little bit of it. I went to a Dewey Beach Christmas tree lighting, I believe, that night. And the Caps were playing hard. Thought they were going to win, and then towards the end, they kind of took their foot off the pedal, and Tampa Bay was able to come back and get a couple, or maybe that was actually Florida. Or sorry, not Florida. Maybe that was Toronto. I think it was the Toronto game.
No, it was Tampa game.
Was it Tampa? Okay.
Yeah, they were destroying them, and then they're like, all right, we'll let you guys come back in.
Right.
We'll make it interesting.
All right, make it interesting. So it was ended up being 4-2. That concerns me a little bit because we have seen this with Caps teams in the past, especially under Bruce Boudreau, where you know the Caps would be winning and they would take their foot off the gas, and then teams would come back and score like three goals in a row, and then the Capitals have to be fighting going to overtime. So I wasn't a big fan of seeing that. I think the Capitals they definitely have to work on that. It's hard to complain with a team that was at one point number one in the Metro this past week. It's hard to complain about things, but maybe something like that I don't want to see from the Capitals. I don't want to see them play a great game and then in the last like 15 minutes just kind of go, we got it, we're done. I want them to stay on.
This is ours. We don't need to try anymore.
Yeah, I want them to stay focused, stay on this team for the entire game. I don't think that's too much to ask.
And that's issues the teams had in the past in the playoffs where they would get up by a game or two in the playoffs and then sort of take their foot off the gas and the other team will come back and be able to win the series. I mean, we had that one against Montreal
a
couple years ago where the Rangers, where they had them beat and let them back into the series and things went poorly. And it's that sort of killer instinct.
It happened last year. Happened last year with the Rangers. The Caps were up 3-0 in the series and they let the Rangers come back.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lacking of a killer instinct.
And why do you think that the Capitals lack that? Like, what is it about this team that just that can't, like, you know, do that one more move, that one more thing that keeps them in the game? And maybe I'm not asking them to go like score, you know, 8 points on a bad team or something like that. But what are they?
I wouldn't mind that.
I mean, that'd be fun. But I'm not trying to say like you just obliterate the other team. But what do the Caps have to do to make sure that they stay in the game the whole time, even if they are winning?
I think it's a mental thing. You get too comfortable. You're not pushing quite as hard. You're not skating quite as much. I remember I was listening to something. I think we talked about this in the podcast before, but I was listening to a different – I think it was somebody on the radio, and they were talking about when teams are up big at the end of games, and they're talking about the hockey in particular, and how if you're up by a couple of goals near the end of the game and teams always seem to score – the losing team seems to score one or two near the end of the game, they're always like, how come is that they couldn't score the entire time? And some of the reasoning is because you don't push that extra little bit because you're like, well, we don't need to. We're up. And so you don't take that extra step to get to the puck first. You don't reach just that little bit further to make sure that your stick gets there first because you know you're up and you don't want to risk it. So I think to some extent that maybe what they're doing, they sort of are like, all right, we're up. We don't have to quite push quite as hard. And maybe you still need to do that. Maybe you do need to push that little bit more towards the end of games so that you can close teams out, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah, that definitely seems like something that they possibly have to work on. Just maybe the mental side of the game. They definitely have the talent on the ice to get everything done that they have to get done. Now, let me ask you this. It was a big deal for the Capitals. They were number one in the Metro for a day or two after going, you know, 5 wins in a row.
Yeah.
Is it important to be number one in the Metro this early on in the season? I mean, it is. Nope. It is about 20 games in, so you're almost at the quarter mark of a season. Is it important to lead this early on?
Not really. I think it's important to be in the fight. That way you're not sort of trying to dig yourself out of a hole that you created. I mean, they played 23 games. They're at 17-5-1, the best start in team history. They're a point behind the Rangers, but they played two less games. So they definitely have a very good chance to take over first place again at some point. But I think as long as you're in the hunt, mm-hmm. then you're fine at this point. I mean, it's not that early in the season anymore. They're 23 games. It definitely, you know, there's still a lot of the season left to go. It's only, December 2nd. But it's good to see that they're in the hunt. They're still fighting for every point and playing is, for the most part, for some games, very well and very hard. And it's nice to see that they are able to be one of those teams that isn't fighting their way up like they were in the past. And we saw those teams, and it happened for a long time, where the Capitals would start off slowly and then they go on a run towards the middle of the season in like late December and January and February and work their way back into a playoff position. Right now, they are that team that is crushing it and is able to put themselves in a solid position.
Yeah, and, you know, the Rangers, they went on a bit of a losing streak as the Capitals were going on their winning streak. But New York, definitely what they have, no matter what, if they win or lose, they have Henrik Lundqvist, one of the best goalies
Screw
of all
that guy.
Time. The King of New York is what they call him. But
he's a jerk. No, I don't even know if that's true. He's probably a nice guy.
He seems like a nice guy, but they're always going to have him. I mean, unless he gets injured or something, don't wish that on him. But they're always going to have him. So
I kind of do.
No, you know.
But like him. Something minor.
Just keep him like out for like
get,
a week.
Like, let's get him a I don't know, like an STD or something. And he
oh my god! Jeez,
something minor. Yeah, like something he gets some pills and be treated. It'll be fine.
Let's give him an STD. Jesus,
I don't know. I was going with something with the shock value more than anything
we
else.
We thought you two.
Your I'll get him a hangnail. There you go. Can't play. He's got a hangnail.
You know, we thought you might have torn an ACL, but actually turns out you got the clap. Sorry about Henry.
There you go. Sorry, buddy.
Oh my god.
I'm like, how did you mess that up?
Wow, yeah. So
no, I mean, even with it, I mean, you still have to have a solid team. They had him for a long time. They still have teams that were not as good because they didn't have a solid defense. Now the Rangers have been able to build themselves a solid team, but they've struggled a little bit. And as long as he stays healthy, then they'll be a very good team. But I think the Capitals are more well-rounded than they've been in quite a long time. Sure they enough. Have players that. On every, you know, almost every line that can score goals. So they have their top two lines have players that can score goals. And it's not just, you know, two guys and then there's that third player that's just kind of there because they don't have anybody else that's good enough to be there. They have everybody who's playing well. I mean, TJ Oshie, I expect a little bit more from him. I was doing the numbers this past week, and I believe this season so far is the worst or is his worst since he's been an established NHL player.
Really?
Points per game. That he's had. Now it's still early. I'd have to go back and look again to see if that's still the case. It was just a couple of games ago, but I think he's only scored once since. I mean, he's got 12 and 23. He's got 6 and 6. I like that to be better. I would definitely like that to be a lot better. I'm not expecting him to be like Kuznetsov, who's leading the team right now in points with 8 goals and 18 assists for 26 points in 23 games. That's ridiculous. But I'd expect him to be ahead of Marcus Johansson. He's only a point behind him.
Wow, really? All right.
He's behind Jason Chimera and Justin Williams.
Well, Chimera's having a great season.
Chimera's having a great season. 7 and 7. Williams has got 7 and 10. I'm surprised that Oshie doesn't have more.
I'm right there with you. That was actually the next thing I was going to bring up with you is with the addition, you say we're a better rounded team. I 100% agree with you on that. With the addition of Oshie and Williams, I got to say I'm more surprised about how good Williams is and how well he's fit into this team because Oshie – while I'm very happy he's a Capital, and I think he is an amazing addition, I'm very happy that he's a part of this team. I think he fits in great with the OV line. I am a little surprised that I'm not hearing his name more on the score sheet or hearing his name more by the, during a game from the announcers. I'm hearing Justin Williams, you know. He's the one really making the noise, partially because he's blocking a lot of Ovechkin goals that are supposed to be historic. But I'm seeing more and more about Justin Williams and less of TJ Oshie, and that kind of surprised me.
I would agree with you. I'm a little surprised that his name is popping up as much as it is, but he's doing well, and I'm perfectly fine with that. I don't mind that he's doing these things as long as he stays out of Ovechkin's way. No, I think those jokes can go. Williams has done very well. He's doing what they asked him to do. He's able to create offense on a line that had some changes go on throughout the season. Even he's had been some movies, you know, on the third line for a little while. Now he's back on the second line. And he's doing well. And things are going well. And it's you know, he can keep it up. It's my concern is more for TJ Oshie and things going with him. And it even looks like he's kind of pressing a little bit or he's not getting quite the same opportunities that you would expect. And I wonder, maybe he's just taking a little longer to gel. It is a new system for him. It is a new team. He'd never been traded before, so it's – you know, you kind of go through these things, and maybe he's taking a little longer to fit in to the team and figuring out his place to some extent. I mean, I think I was looking at it, and throughout his career, since he became an established player, he was like a 60 to 65, between there and like 70 to 75 point per game player. It was pretty good. It's not bad. Right now, he's just over 50% a point per game player, so that's kind of a problem. I'd like to see those numbers go up. To get to more goals, I'm kind of surprised he's not just getting assists by just kind of being there.
Right.
Like, with Backstrom and Ovechkin, how are you not – or Kuznetsov, how are you not getting more assists just by chance? So that surprises me a little bit. And I'm a little surprised he's not getting quite as much on the power play. But it's still – you know, it's only 23 games in. He still has a chance to up his numbers.
Well, maybe that's why he is having a little bit of trouble. You're saying a new system and everything, but also potentially could be he's never worked with a superstar on the caliber of somebody like Alex Ovechkin, or, I mean, even a guy who is one of the best, I don't know, if, I don't want to say rookie or whatever. He's been here for a little bit, but Yevgeny Kuznetsov. Maybe he's never been able to play on a line with guys that are at that level, and he's still adjusting to it, kind of being like, well, I'm not the top dog anymore.
Well, he's always, I mean, St. Louis has had some good players, maybe not to the level of Ovechkin, but probably maybe to Kuznetsov. But I was talking about earlier in the preseason where he was sort of doing what a lot of players were doing, where they would get the puck and they'd be like, okay, let me find Ovechkin, get it to him. And then he was like, well, wait, I'm pretty good at this sport too. I can take some shots and see what I can do. And then he started doing well in the preseason. And he wasn't just sort of trying to force feed Ovechkin or Backstrom the puck. And so I think as long as he continues to just sort of work at it and he gets more comfortable, we saw this with the team last year. The team itself took a while to gel into Barry Trotz's system. So it becomes to a point where he starts to become more and more comfortable, then I think the team's going to get that much better.
Yeah, absolutely. And let's talk about on the defensive end here. Let's talk about a guy we haven't seen in a little while. Brooks Orpik, we know he's been out for a couple games, and he's dealing with some injuries. Doesn't seem like he's going to be a part of the road trip coming up. What does this say about the defense without Brooks Orpik here? Because, I mean, personally, I feel as if, yeah, he's a great addition to this team, and I love having him out on the ice, but they look pretty good without him.
Yeah, I mean, I was concerned when he went out, and I was like, oh, crap. You know, he's playing very well with Carlson. They've done well together. I wasn't quite as sold on Schmidt being on the top pairing with Carlson, but it's worked out pretty well. I mean, the guys are playing well. It's unfortunate he still won't be out. They keep saying it's not a major thing, but he hasn't played since early November. How, like, at what point do they think an injury becomes major? That, like, how long does a guy have to be out before they're like, all right, he's got a legitimate problem?
Right, right.
Like, is he got to be out for a couple of months? And they're like, all right, yeah, he's kind of injured now. Like, it's something that's been bothering him. They're leaving him behind. That sounds so much meaner than I intended. They're leaving him behind. He's not going to travel to Montreal and Winnipeg. They're going to let him stay home and continue his rehab, which I think is a good idea. If they had no chance of playing him, then there's no reason to bring him along. I thought it was a little weird that they took him to, was it Detroit? Last week? Yeah, 2 weeks ago?
2 weeks ago.
But they aren't going to take him on this one, which makes me wonder, did it flare up? Whatever that problem may be, is it worse than they thought it was going to be? So,
well, the first thing that comes to my mind with him is he just had surgery on his wrist, right? Over the summer?
Yes.
So I got to assume it has something to do with his wrist and the fact that maybe he re-injured that. Maybe it's not as strong as they thought, kind of like a la a Brooks-like type of thing where he thought he was ready to go, but wasn't, and then he had to sit out and wait and fix whatever was wrong with him. You know, hopefully it doesn't come to the Brooks-like level of missing a season or two, because I like Brooks Orpik on this team. But that's what I think. I think it's a wrist problem, and we'll see what happens going forward. It doesn't look good if he's not going on the road trip. I don't think that's a very good sign. But Nate Schmidt and Taylor Chorney, they have stepped up. They have looked good. Chorney's, I mean, he's actually doing a very good job for just being a seventh defenseman. He's gotten a few points in the last week, and he's looked good. Nate Schmidt, I mean, dude looks like a pro now. For a guy who was sitting for such a long time early on in the season, he looks like he hasn't skipped a beat. Like, he's ready to be one of the full-time guys.
Well, I think Schmidt has definitely put his mark on the team, and he's not going anywhere anytime soon. Even Orpik comes back, Schmidt's going to be back there with Orlov. He's been playing great. He's done well. I don't think he's necessarily the long-term answer for this season, but he certainly is making the case to be in the event that someone else goes down.
And Orlov as well.
Well, let's hope no one else does. Knock on wood.
Yes, very, very true. Orlov, after he finally got that first goal over a year out of the way, it really looks like there's been like a burden taken off of his shoulders. He seems to be playing.
Did he, three in a row?
Three in a row, yeah. It looks like he's definitely
got the game winner against Edmonton.
Yep.
So somebody had to, because no one else is going to score in that game.
The game winner, the only goal of that game. I mean, he's come in, and now he looks like he's just ready to play. Like before it was, I got to do this, I got to do that. It looks like Orlov's finally like, all right, I'm good. I missed a year, yeah, but I'm back in the groove. I'm ready to roll.
It's like, all right, guys, I'm ready. I'm done. I'm done resting. I've had enough time, and now I'm ready to go out and play some hockey.
There you go.
I mean, it's got to be hard when you're out for so long and then to get back into the speed of things. And you don't play enough where you just get, like, you get back in. You're only out there for a minute, what, 60 to 90 seconds at most,
right,
on the ice, ideally. So you're not out there for a lot of time to be able to sort of get back into the groove, especially as a third-pairing defenseman. Your minutes are not quite as high as the other guys. So it's going to take a while for you to sort of really get back into your groove. And now we're seeing how good a guy like Orlov can be as your third-pairing defenseman.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, this team is a very well-rounded team. There's no one to complain about. Like, I feel like there's no weakness on this team.
Oh, I'll find a spot. In fact, I can think of someone in particular.
Who you? Philip Grubauer? Is that who you're gonna say?
That bastard. Let me tell you about him. No. Not complain. I'm still, you know, maybe it's a sophomore slump kind of a thing, but Andrei Burakovsky is still just not. He's not doing it. Mm. You know, he's not back in the lineup. He took two games off? One game off?
I think he had two games.
It was two, and he got back in the lineup, and he's still not producing. He's not necessarily playing well, but he's not getting on the score sheet. And from a guy that was drafted where he was, and the expectations that are on him, you expect better.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, we're not quite there yet. So, I mean, it could be a thing where he'll get there eventually. It could be just that it's taking him, you know, maybe it is a sophomore slump. We've seen players in the past that go through that. And either they break out of it this season or the next season they break out of it. So hopefully, you know, things start waking up for him. I know he's not necessarily playing on a line that promotes offensive production, but you still are hoping,
right,
to get something out of him. Especially, he's been on the power play, so it's not like he's not getting decent opportunities. It's not like their power play is terrible. They have a decent power play. It's, yeah, not bad.
I mean,
it's top something.
I mean, power play one, power play two.
I don't know that status. I was going to say it. No, I don't. Is it NHL.com? I don't think the Caps website has it. Thanks, guys.
Both sets of the power play, though. I mean, if it's power play one or power play two, there's goal scorers on both sides of that. So it doesn't, like,
that is helpful.
It does, yeah. It doesn't weigh heavily on just one guy or the other. But number three. There you go. All right.
76.1%. I don't know. Oh no! Wait, I was looking at the wrong thing. Sorry. Number two.
Number two. Okay.
Sorry. My bad.
Even better.
I was looking at the wrong stat. I was like, that can't be right. 76%. Like, first game of the season, maybe. No, 26.8. There we go. They're behind Boston with having the top power play in the league. So, it's good, 26. And then they have the number 9 PK. So, that's pretty good. Whereas years ago, they had, like, the number 1 power play by a mile and then, like, the number 27th penalty kill.
Yeah.
And you're like, guys, something's not right here.
There's Adam Oates.
Like, you're not allowed to be really good at one and not be so good at the other one and think you have a chance at winning the cup.
Good old Adam Oates. That's all
right. That was Boudreau.
Oh, okay. Even, yeah.
Boudreau was the
all offense all the time.
Offense, let's do it. Defense, what's that?
Defense, be more offensive, and then we're good.
Come on, guys.
But,
jump in the rush. What about the goaltender?
Back to Burakovsky, though. Is it something that, you know, he's definitely got talent. He's shown it off. He's done a good job of that. But let me ask you this. Does he fit into this system? Barry Trotz has a specific system. I think it's worked very well. Is he just not the guy to fill that spot? Is he not somebody who's going to fit in with the way Barry Trotz wants to run this team?
No, I think he could fit into the system. We saw it work last year in the playoffs and towards the end of the season. I think he's just struggling right now to get on the score sheet. I think he may find himself trying to do too much, and that's causing him to struggle in the end. And I think he'll be fine. I think it's just one of those things where he's just struggling right now, and he's pushing really hard, and he's gripping the stick too tight and things like that.
Loosen up, man. Loosen up.
Yeah, some of it, he's just – I think he gets a goal or two in, like, two or three games, and things are going to definitely open up for him, and he's going to start scoring a lot.
I'm intrigued.
But for right now, it's just – he's sort of just having a hard time at the moment.
I'm intrigued to see what he does because – if you remember, he got drafted by the Capitals, and then he went to Erie. He became an Erie Otter, but there was a little bit of fight of him to come over to the U.S. so quickly. He wanted to, I guess he just wanted to go straight to the NHL, or he wanted to stay over in Sweden. But the Capitals kind of like talked him into coming over to Erie. Then he comes to the Capitals. He does a great job in his rookie year, but he does get sent down to Hershey for a good chunk of it. And he said, I don't think I deserve to be here. I should be up with the NHL. Now, like a news article comes out after he sits for a game or two, and it says, I don't think I should be in the press box. I don't think I should be sitting. I should be playing. Yada, yada, yada. Does this guy, like, does he think a little too much of himself? Or could this be another, what was his name? The terrible trade for Philip Forsberg.
You think he's like an E-rat?
E-rat. Like, E-rat, he comes here, he doesn't really fit in, and then he has to be traded. Orlov has to be traded as well. Could we see the potential of Andrei Burakovsky going, I don't like the fact I'm always going to Hershey. I don't like the fact that I'm being sat in the press box, being a healthy scratch. I don't like that. I want out. I want to go somewhere else. Could we see that potentially down the road?
I don't envision that being the case. I don't think it's going to come to that. I think he knows that he's struggling right now. I think he's a young guy who wants to play. He thinks he has the talent. And I'd rather have that than a guy who's like, yep, I suck. I'm not good at this game anymore. And it's like, you want a guy who's got that fire, and I'm fine with that. And if it's a situation where if it comes to a point where he's going to be like, I don't want to play for you anymore because you're not playing me enough, then you can leave. If you're going to be a big baby about it, then you don't get to play. If you're dumb, you don't. No, I'm just kidding. No, I mean, if he's going to be difficult about it, then no, you don't get to play because you're not producing to the level that the team needs. So if you're not helping, then why have you out there?
I like the Barry Trotz kind of sits down with the guys. We saw that in the 24, well, I guess it wasn't 24/7 last year. The Epics Road to the Winter Classic thing where he brought up...
I never even finished that thing.
You didn't finish it? It even showed up on Netflix for a while. I rewatched it over the summer when I missed it.
I'll watch it at some point. I just never got around to it.
I don't think it's on Netflix anymore. You might have to just find that somewhere unless you have Epics.
Uh-oh.
I don't think anyone does, though. But
I'll survive.
I liked that Barry Trotz like came over to Burakovsky and said, like, look, you're a young guy. You're not going to play every game. I'm going to have you up in the press box tonight. Just watch it. Just watch it and see if you can improve your game and figure out what you got to do after watching the game from up there. So, I mean, I don't think it's like a demotion or something, him sitting in the press box and being a healthy scratch. I think it's their way of going like, look, you still got a lot to learn, dude. And you're a young guy. And he said it himself. You know, Burakovsky said himself, I'm not shooting enough. I'm passing it far too often. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing to help impact this team. So he at least knows that. He knows that he's got to watch what he does from the press box every once in a while. He still looks timid out there. And if you're going to be timid like that, this is an aggressive game. You gotta take your shots. You gotta take your chances and getting that puck into the back of the net. And he, to me, it just seems like he's scared and he just wants to pass it off to somebody else so they can do it. So hopefully...
See, I almost feel like he's doing the opposite sometimes where he tries to do it too much himself.
You think?
And he's like... there was one play, I think Russia Machine broke it down, but it was... He had one or two opportunities to take the shot, but he kept making that one or that extra move to get into a better opportunity. He was like, just shoot the puck, man. Put it on net. If it doesn't go in, you had a good shot. Maybe you get the rebound. Someone else gets the rebound. You know, give yourself an opportunity to score instead of giving the defense more and more chances to be able to knock the puck away. Not everything has to be a perfect shot. That's what this team struggled with a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Where they're looking for the perfect opportunity. It doesn't always have to be the perfect opportunity. Shoot it on net. You know, if you miss, it's the goalie, comes out for a rebound, you may have a chance to get an assist. Or maybe you even get your own rebound and score.
I'm right there with you. That's what I think. To cure this Burakovsky bug that he's got, he's got to look what's going on. He's got to shoot.
That we're gonna call it now. If a guy is pushing too hard, we're gonna call it. He's pulling a Burakovsky.
He's a Burakovsky bug. That's right.
All right, we'll call it pulling a Burakovsky.
I like it. All right. Anything else we should talk about in Caps world?
Did we talk about Holpe?
Holpe looking good.
He was named the number two star in the NHL for last week, so congratulations to him.
He earned it.
Yeah. He definitely did against Edmonton, where the rest of the team was like, you know what? We'll take the night off. You got this, apparently. That was terrible. Oh, man. But it was so cool because I was on TV. But, yeah, congratulations to Braden Holpe. That was very cool for him.
Absolutely.
But, yeah, it's pretty much in Caps world. There's less to talk about when the team's playing well.
I know, yeah. There's less to discuss.
Unless we're talking about Andrei Burakovsky, apparently.
Yeah, well, it's less to discuss when you're like, they're winning. Keep on trucking.
Keep it up, guys.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Down on the Farm. But first, here is a word from the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
What the fuck? What the fuck? Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
This is Barry Trotz. You're listening to What the Puck.
All right, everybody, here we go. We are going down on the farm. We are talking Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays. You know what he's farming this week? Christmas trees, guys. He's cutting them down, selling them on the street corner. $25, any tree on the lot. Coach Dan, tell us what's going on.
Dude, I wish that's how much I paid for a Christmas tree. We tried to go to this one place that we went to last year and didn't have them out yet. So we had to go somewhere else. It was expensive.
See, that you just got to go artificial, man. You just put it in a box and you store it in your basement.
No.
That's the way to do it.
No, it's not. You got to get a real tree. None of this fake tree crap.
A real
Christmas tree makes the house smell nice. Might kind of be a fire hazard, and that's besides the point.
You just get some air fresheners, you know, and put them in the tree.
Air fresheners.
I can't have a candle. I have a cat. I have a cat, so I can't have candles. But, you know, I'm Mr. Christmas. You know, you can't. I got my my Bumble shirt on. You can see it on Google Hangout right now. You know, I'm Mr. Christmas, but I've never had a real Christmas tree my entire life. Never had one.
Well, that's your mistake.
Never. Always had the artificial.
Lame. All right, well, you know what? You're making a mistake.
You know what isn't lame? The Hershey Bears and the South Carolina Stingrays. Thank you. Thank you. Good segue, guys. All right, so Coach Dan, what's going on?
Oh, let's see. In the past week and a half, Hershey went 1-1-1 with a win over Providence, a loss to Wilkes-Barre Scranton, and a shootout loss to Lehigh Valley. The Bears are back at it. Of course, they always play them. You'll like this in a minute. The Bears are back at it this weekend with back-to-back-to-back games starting on Friday in Hartford, at home on Saturday against, as we talked about, Lehigh Valley, and Sunday at home against Wilkes-Barre Scranton. They just always seem to be going in this Pennsylvania-like teams. So Lehigh Valley's in Pennsylvania, Wilkes-Barre Scranton. We'll hang out in our area.
Oh, yeah.
Just play everybody down there. Down in South Carolina, the Stingrays went 3-0, sweeping their trip to Orlando.
Yeah.
Clearly, they like Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
Things worked out well for them. They scored 11 goals in the three games and only gave up four. They are back at it as we speak in Norfolk, and then back-to-back-to-back games starting on Friday in Wheeling, Saturday in Wheeling, and Sunday in Indianapolis. Now let's stay in South Carolina, where congrats are in order for rookie goalie Vitek Vanacek after he was named the ECHL Rookie Goalie of the Month for November. The now two-time Rookie of the Month went 4-2-1 in November with a GAA of 1.26 and a save percentage of .946. That's ridiculous.
That's crazy.
That's what's going on down on the farm.
I don't think it's Rookie Goaltender of the Month. I think it's
Did I say Rookie Goaltender of the Month?
Yeah, I think it's just Rookie of the Month.
I meant ECHL Rookie of the Month. I was looking at it, and I know he's a goalie, and I think that's why I said it.
Okay. All right. Do you just want to read?
We can just go with this part where we're ad-libbing now.
Oh, okay.
Technically, it's the CCM ECHL Rookie of the Month, but I was like, man, screw it. I'm not right. Too many letters. CCM ECHL.
All right.
People listening are like, "Is you guys any words anytime soon?"
Rookie of the Month, though. This kid, we've been talking about him a lot this year. You know, he's a 19-year-old.
I don't know if he gets like a little trophy. Maybe he gets like a little trophy bobblehead.
I don't know. So it was CCM who was sponsoring this stat. Now, do they give him something for that? I mean, that would be nice.
He probably gets a little something.
A little something, something. Get a little something on the side. A little something, something. You know?
I'm telling you, dude, gold bobblehead.
I like it. I like
that
it.
That would be cool.
You know what I got when I used to be a lifeguard at the hotel I worked at? I got the King of Clean, which they gave out to each department, whoever won it. And I got they spray painted a duster gold and gave it to me.
There you go.
It was,
that's something you can't even hang up somewhere.
It was odd. And
you still have it?
No, I believe they handed it to me and I literally just threw it in the trash. Because I was
nice, dude.
I'm like, oh, this is great. I'm not gonna do anything with this. I'm also
the
person.
Hell is this thing?
They gave me Employee of the Month once, and when you do it, you're an Employee of the Month. You get your own special parking space. I never used it. I'm like, I like the one back here. I'm just gonna stick to this parking space. But thanks. I'm that jerk. That's what I do. All right.
You gotta give this parking space to somebody else.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't care. I don't want it. All right. Well, that's it for what's going on with Hershey and South Carolina. Go Bears, go Stingrays. Now let's go around the NHL. All right, everybody, here we go. We are going around the NHL. Plenty of stuff going on. The NHL has tried their best to take over Black Friday as a hockey day while everybody else is out shopping. So the NHL's plenty busy. Coach Dan, what's going on around the NHL?
Oh, let's see. Let's start in Montreal, where they have signed general manager Marc Bergevin to a 5-year contract extension. I believe he took them from being worst in the East to being one of the best teams in the East, so he certainly earned that contract. San Jose signed one-time capital Dinas Zubrus to a 1-year two-way deal. Financial terms were not disclosed. Columbus forward Brandon Dubinsky was suspended for one game for cross-checking, there's the word, Pittsburgh's Sidney Crosby. Dubinsky wasn't really looking at Crosby on the play, but it doesn't excuse the fact that you can't just cross-check a dude in the back of the neck. It's just not polite. So you're going to sit out for a game. And finally, Chicago and Minnesota revealed their Stadium Series jerseys for their outdoor game on February 21st at TCF Bank Stadium in Minnesota. Blackhawk ones? Kind of garbage.
I got to look these
Wild up. Wild ones? Not too bad. I actually kind of like them, but I think they missed out on a great opportunity to go with the old school North Stars.
Is it the jersey that we thought leaked like a week or two ago? I sent you on Twitter. Is it the same one? Do you remember it?
Dude, did you send me something on Twitter?
Yeah, we talked about it. It was a while ago. It was a bar.
I don't know. I don't think it was last week.
All right. Well, okay. Here we go. Ooh. Okay. Yeah. Those. Well, they really don't.
No. They're garbage.
It's.
Garbage.
All right, where's Minnesota's? The Minnesota one really doesn't look that different.
Well, it's a Stadium Series, not Winter Classic.
Yeah, but...
if that makes a difference.
That's... Did you know my buddy Phil, our buddy Phil, who you ran into at the game?
The guy who I ran into in the bathroom?
He messaged me, I guess when these jerseys came out, he was like, hey, remember how it took you like a year or two to realize that the Capitol building was on the bottom of the Capitol's logo? He's like, I just realized that the Minnesota Wild is a bear. I had no idea that was a bear. I was like, really, dude? And he's like, yeah.
How did you not notice that?
I knew it was a wilderness scene, but I didn't know it was a bear. He's like, look at it from left to right. And I'm like, I know. I could tell. Yeah, that's great.
With Connor, that's why it's there.
The Chicago ones just kind of, they look like pajamas a little bit.
Yeah, they're kind of garbage.
What is on the, oh, okay, so that's the stars for the city flag, the Chicago. All right. Oh, that's weird.
A little bit.
All right. A little bit. Chicago's probably just like, how many of these do we have to do?
Yeah, guys, stop.
How many Stadium Series are we going to be in?
A Stadium Series one could be fun.
Oh, man. All right. Well, if you guys want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can tweet to either of us. Tweet to me at Brando Cash. And Coach Dan, where can people tweet to you at?
You can't find me. Leave me alone. I have a cold. I hate being sick. It sucks. No, you can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also, I don't know, never find me. Apparently, once I'm done with these master's classes, I can go back into writing again. But CapitalsOutsider.com, go over there. Check that website out. It is a great fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals and their bobbleheads, of which, Brandon, did I tell you I saw the bobbleheads at the store?
Did you?
I did. Did I not tell you?
You didn't tell me a thing about this.
Oh, when did I see them? Oh, I think I saw them when you were out of town, and then I don't know. So they have the old Slapshot ones from last year. Uh-huh. I could not see necessarily which ones. They are, oh, shoot. What did the lady say at the counter? $29?
Okay. So
$29.99?
They used to be
$45. I see they've gone down. So next game I go to, I don't know. See, I don't really like if I pay for a bobblehead. I don't know. We'll see. Anyways, yeah. So you could potentially go to the Caps games. I went to the store, the main big store. They had them behind the counter.
Okay.
Or it was like to the left side of the counter and up on the wall. So yeah, if you go to a game or anyone that wants to go to a game is looking for one of those creepy looking bobbleheads, Slapshot. If they have one of Hattrick, can you do me a favor and buy it and then smash it outside? That'd be great.
I just put up my Christmas Slapshot bobblehead. Put that by my TV yesterday.
Well, there you go. That makes sense. Wasn't the Halloween one?
He was a mummy, dressed like a mummy.
Christmas one.
He's dressed as Santa. Thanksgiving one, he's a pilgrim eating a turkey, which is a little
there's
weird.
Another one that I thought was cool.
The leprechaun one.
Not
cool.
The Jesus one. That's probably going to piss people off. St. Patrick's Day?
Yeah, he's dressed as a leprechaun. I want that one.
I think that, yeah, I feel like that would go, like, it'd be start of a horror movie where he comes to life and kills people. But other than that, I think that one was kind of cool. But yeah, that's capitalsoutsider.com. But Brandon, what about Brando Cash Entertainment?
Yeah, sure, we'll get to that. But Caps Outsider, they have Tom Wilson. He has on his own bobblehead. Did you know that with the kids club?
No.
It's him in the new third jersey. And they show off his...
maybe I didn't know that.
He shows off his Tim Riggins hair. He doesn't even have a helmet on. I mean, this actually looks like Tom Wilson. Most of them just look like, you know, scary man with a mental illness. That's what most of the bobbleheads look like.
Dude, some of them do. Oh, there it is. Well, that does kind of look like Tom Wilson. Well, like Tom Wilson...
And Bob Saget.
It looks like... See, I was going to go if, like, Tom Wilson and John Travolta had a kid, this is what he would look like.
All right.
When you blow it up, it's not quite as frightening. Because Netsoff one is pretty funny. He kind of looks like he's stoned.
I might have to sign up one of my god kids for this for Christmas and then just keep the bobblehead. That's what I might do.
Dude, if I get the TJ... I want the TJ Oshie one.
See, that don't look like TJ Oshie. I mean, a little bit. Tiny, itty-bitty bit. The Tom Wilson one looks like him.
Bob Berger in Major League. catcher.
He kind of looks like Chevy Chase in Christmas Vacation.
Oh, that works too. That works too.
Yeah. Yeah.
There we go.
All right. Well, if you guys want more information about Brando Cash Entertainment, go to BrandoCash.com, give you all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and whatever other podcasts we are producing. Go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And then go to Facebook.com/WTP Podcast, 2 P's in that title. Like us over there, and we'll always post funny videos and photos and news articles we like and stuff from the minor leagues. All that good stuff will be posted there, as well as on our Twitter account at WTP_podcast. Now, guys, we do this show for free. You listen, you stream, you download it for free as well. All we ask in return is to please spread the word about What the Puck. Spread that love of hockey all over the place. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit. Anywhere you're social on the web, say, I'm a Caps fan. We're going to be number one in the Metro again. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Let's talk about the games that are coming up until we talk again. On Thursday, December 3rd, the Capitals are up against the Canadiens in Montreal at 7:30 home.
Without Carey Price.
That's
he's out for 6 weeks. He's going to miss the Winter Classic.
Oh, that poor dude. Oh, man.
Yeah, we don't talk about injuries. I don't usually do injuries in around the NHL because the segment would be like twice as long.
True.
But yeah, that's a bit of a bummer for the Canadiens. He's gonna be out for a while. That could definitely hurt. And they're crushing it right now. I mean, they got 45 points, top team in the league. And to lose him is gonna hurt.
Yeah, I mean, take him away. They'll still choke in the playoffs, but still, geez. Did I say that? I'm sorry. All right, and then Saturday, December 5th, the Capitals are in Winnipeg, up against the Jets. That game is at 3 o'clock, and that is shown on Comcast SportsNet. So, hey, guys, if you don't have a tree yet and you celebrate Christmas, put up the tree Saturday afternoon, put on the Caps game instead of Christmas carols, listen to our good buddy John Walton talking about the game as you're decorating that tree. And then on Tuesday, December 8th, the Capitals are back home, welcoming Mike Green and the Red Wings back to D.C. That game is at 7:30, and that is a national. What's that?
Is he playing?
I don't know.
I thought he was hurt. Is he still out?
I mean, it's Mike Green. There's always a chance he's hurt.
Ouch. That's mean. It's true. Unfortunately true, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you're not wrong.
All right, that game is at 7:30. We may or may not see Mike Green. Who knows? But that is a nationally televised game, and that will be on NBC Sports. So definitely check out those three games. Should be some good ones out there, guys. Check those out. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. Let's go, Caps.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jacks. For more information, go to brandocash.com.